Is day four of 5 days live with myself and Linda. Hello, Linda.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing great today, Stephen. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I think we want to send out some love and hugs, though, to first of all to your husband for
yes,
to recover
soon,
Rita, yeah, and to Cheryl, who was going to join us today, but she's been taken ill. So, Cheryl, we're sending you a group hug. And we look forward to seeing you back broadcasting next week. It's that time of year when there are bugs going around and it's impossible to avoid them. So.
Yes. Yeah. So because of that, I'm out in my car. My husband's coughing like crazy. And so what am I going to do? I do it in my car. You know, I work from home. So it's not like I can go to the office, you know, because the office is in the home.
Understood. Right. Now, okay, our topic for today. And thank you for joining us, is conducting awesome interviews. And who better to actually start the show than Linda, who recently interviewed a chap called Wesley Snipes. So, Linda, yes. It's over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. This is really going to be a great topic because, you know, conducting interviews, there's a lot of great reasons to conduct interviews. Maybe you're just like me and you're nosy, or you have a lot of questions. You're very curious, whatever words we want to use. Maybe you want to share other people with the world. Maybe you want to grow your business. Maybe you just want to challenge yourself to conduct interviews. There's so many different reasons to do this. And so today we're going to be talking about all those reasons, but then also how to actually conduct the interviews and make them really awesome interviews. So the interviewee walks away and they're like, wow, that was a great interview. And so that your audience says, wow, that was a great interview. So I know Brigitte is going to be joining us a little bit later too today, right, Stephen?
And 3, 2, 1, by the magic of belive.tv. Hello, Brigitte.
Hello.
Hello, Linda. Hi, Stephen. How are you today?
Awesome.
We're good. We just sent out hugs to Cheryl and to Linda's husband because they're both suffering from the virus that seems to be going around.
Right.
So we actually got started, and Linda was talking about knowing your purpose for conducting interviews. So this is know your why. Yeah?
Exactly.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Brigitte? Why do you interview people?
I enjoy interviewing people because it's interesting. I love telling people stories and helping them tell their stories. And that's the purpose of interview. It's not to highlight yourself, but it's to highlight the story of someone else and allow them a space in which to tell that story, not just to their audience, but also to your audience and to your connections audience. And so you want to facilitate that. So the spotlight is not essentially on yourself when you're doing an interview. The spotlight is on your guest. And you want to do what it takes to bring out the best in your guest and to help them navigate telling their story. That's my why.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes I have seen some interviewers where they take advantage of that opportunity to interview somebody to highlight themselves. And so it kind of brings the interview down, you know, in my perspective, because I really want to know who the guest is that you're interviewing. So make sure that when you're interviewing somebody that you're not taking over the show, you know, because like Brigitte said, it really is about your guests. You know, what are you bringing them on the show for? Are you bringing them to showcase their business? If you think about like some of the most famous interviewers, right, like Oprah Winfrey, Ellen DeGeneres, that when they're interviewing people, it's all about the guests, like 100%. So you're making sure that your interview is interesting so that it is all about the guest.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you focus on the guest, you're bringing them honor, because otherwise, what is the point in having them there?
Yeah.
If you're going to try and steal the spotlights, you know, what is the point? Then your motives are not really that pure. You know, then you're just in it for yourself, for a selfish motive. And that doesn't sit well with me. It's not why I am in this business. My purpose is to help other people tell their stories. You know, I mean, yes, I have a story. We all have a story. But when you're doing a talk show and you're interviewing people, it cannot be about you. that center stage is not for you. And that's why you go through all the preparation of trying to get to know your guests, know a little bit about them, find out what's interesting about them so that you can introduce your guests nicely and ask them interesting questions that your audience would like to know. Do a little bit of homework and that sort of thing. But it's all about your guests. It's not about you. The spotlight's not on you.
Yeah, you interjecting during the interview and, you know, maybe to share how you've had a similar sort of experience, but not going into your whole story, you know, it's like, well, you know, I've experienced that too. And even if you're going to tell a little bit of your story of how you experienced it, keep it short, keep it really short, because again, that's a connection point. I like to do my interviews as if I'm having a conversation with somebody, and there's different, I think what's important here is that there's different ways to do it. There is no right way. There is no wrong way. But, you know, just do it. And these are just suggestions for you to, you know, to help you to improve your interviews. One thing I do, and is you're probably gonna be like, Linda, why do you not do that? Because I don't research my interviewers, my interviewees. I literally will ask the first question. I don't even ask the same first question, but I let their responses direct the interview. And that's, you know, one of the things that I love to do is because I want to actually hear what they have to say in the moment. I could research them, but for me, it's more practiced that way. That doesn't work for me, but it works amazingly well for other people. So I know Stephen and I were talking earlier, and you know, he likes to research the, you know, people. For me, it makes me nervous when I research people. So it doesn't work for me. But so what I was saying is that there are different ways to do it.
I wouldn't call it research, but I do ask them for their bio. And I usually say, keep it short. I don't want your 3, 4, 5, 6 page bio. Yeah. Keep it down to you know, 4 or 5 sentences at absolute maximum. That's all I want to know about you, just enough so that I can introduce you to the audience. But I like, you know, I do what you do. I like them to lead, to lead the interview and allow that to determine the direction the interview goes into. Because if you know too much, it kind of spoils it. Spoils the moment. Yeah. It spoils the surprise for the audience, because you want to keep it fresh, you want to keep it real, you want to keep it authentic. And, you know, I think one thing we must never underestimate is that the audience can sense when you're not being authentic. So don't act surprised when you're not really surprised.
Yeah, so true. You know, Stephen mentioned earlier at the very beginning of the show, you know, I interviewed a gentleman that a lot of people probably know, you know, millions, called Wesley Snipes. And I was on the red carpet interviewing stars, and he was like the highlight star of the night before we got shut down. The fire marshal came in and shut down the red carpet because there were too many people on it. So it was really cool because I interviewed Wesley Snipes. So, you know, I've seen his movies and I know who he is. But my question to him, I had an intention that night. And so, you know, setting an intention of what you want your interview to be about. My intention that night was to specifically find out how these people who are on this red carpet, how do they use mentorship? How do they use coaches? And have they ever participated in a mastermind? That was my intention of the night, is so that I could get, snippets, bites, you know, bite-sized pieces that I can use for my marketing materials. So there's also different reasons to conduct the interview. I literally had a minute and a half with him. And so I was going to take advantage of that minute and a half to get something that I really wanted for my marketing. So again, you're like setting intention. What is the intention of conducting your interview? And just like knowing what that is and making sure that you feel that, as well as, you know, conducting the interview to highlight the person as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do a lot of, most of my interviews are informational, but, you know, for services and causes, which is what I'm about mainly. And so, you know, people want to know facts on which they can make their own choices and decisions from experts in the industry. And so, you know, I'm not an expert on those fields. And so it's always, you know, I love those interviews because I learn so much from industry experts. Yeah. It's, you know, I'm like, wow. I mean, if I think about the water crisis and what I know about water now compared to 2 years ago, it's just mind blowing. And it's just water, right? You know? And but there's so much about water that we don't know, that we couldn't possibly know. But interviewing these experts and getting their insight has just been amazing for me. And it's not just amazing and interesting for me. It's amazing and interesting for my audience because it empowers them.
Yeah, so, I love that, Brigitte. That's so true, right? Because I've also interviewed on my show a lot of people who are entrepreneurs, who are founders of companies, who like are really like moving and like making a lot of changes in the world that are helping other people. And one thing I really love is when I hear when somebody reaches back out to me that I've interviewed and they say, "Wow, thank you for that interview because I connected with these different people." People who are watching the interview have an opportunity then to connect with those people that we're putting out there. And it's really, I love connecting people. It's a lot of fun for me. And so having that opportunity to connect two people by me bringing somebody on the air is so amazing. I love it.
I love that too. And I, you know, there's nothing that warms my heart more than having, because sometimes I get people that come on and they're nervous. You know, people may have been doing interviews, but they've not been on live streams. And so it's a very, very different experience for people. And so a lot of people I find, even if they've been in traditional media, they get very, very nervous of a live stream. And so, you know, you want the interviewer to walk away feeling relaxed and not feeling stressed. Yeah. And to me, the greatest gift I could get is for someone to walk away after the interview and say, "Thank you so much. I really enjoyed that. I had so much fun." You know, and when I ask them, you know, "Can I bring you back as a guest?" and they go, "Hell yes." Then I'm like, "Yes, mission accomplished."
Yay.
That's it. You're actually doing several things at once. You're actually talking to somebody who interests you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be interviewing them.
Right.
About a topic that interests you. And which you may want to gain knowledge about. And one of the things about doing interviews with people is we're actually gaining knowledge at the same time as everybody who's watching. And that's a wonderful thing because we know there's so many different people we can talk to. If we've got questions about a particular topic, we can find somebody who's knowledgeable about it, invite them on as a guest on the show and talk. And the water crisis situation is where you got connected, Brigitte, with a lot of people in the water industry itself.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I've made connections I never knew existed, you know, different types of engineers, and it's just a whole field of people in the industry that I didn't even know existed. So it's been a minefield, but very, very interesting and exciting. And I'm very thankful for the knowledge that I have been able to learn over the last 2 years.
And that's a good point right there. You not only did you learn a lot and you know, more and more and more about the topic itself, but you met a lot of people you might not have met had that not been the topic. And you're educating the audience about the topic and you're introducing those people to the audience. So there's so many amazing elements that go into interviewing people and conducting those amazing interviews so that people are interested in what you're doing and sharing what you're doing and just being able to share that information and knowledge. I love it.
Right. Just to welcome Alfredo, and there is no guest spot running today. I'm afraid you have to put up with the three of us talking about we're talking today about conducting awesome interviews. And now one of the topics we're going to come on to in a moment is actually finding guests. But before we do that, one of the ways that you've done that, if you'd like to talk for a minute about it, Linda, is the secret knock.
Yes. Oh gosh. There's this event called Secret Knock. It's been going on for 13 years. I've become the organizer of the event. I first started attending the event, then I became a volunteer, and then I became the organizer of the event. Well, what's really cool about, first of all, about organizing an event like this, we bring together people who are changing the world. So, like the creator and co-founder of the Make-A-Wish Foundation has done so much amazing work, granting wishes to over 450,000 children who are dying. The gentleman who invented the credit card magnetic strip, so these are like people that are really changing the world, and we bring other people like that as well. So the thing that's awesome about me being the one who organizes the event is I'm in connection with all of the speakers. So when I'm reaching out to them to tell them about the event, like what time to be there, helping them with their hotel arrangements and all of this stuff, I then invite them to be on my show. So I take advantage of this opportunity. There's opportunities all around to interview people. And sometimes we might be like at the beginning when I first did it, I was a little bit scared to ask, but I asked anyway because I wanted it. And so just asking, sometimes it's so simple as just saying, "Hey, I'm having a show. It's called, whatever it's called, and I'd love to have you on that. My audience can really benefit from your knowledge, your information." Like pump them up. Talk to them, tell them about how amazing they are, and ego kicks in. Ego kicks in a lot, and so they're like, "Yeah, of course I want to be on your show." A lot of times they don't even know anything about the show. I just ask them, "Would you be on my show?" And they're like, "Yeah, of course." So that's one of the ways I, get people on my show. There's this gentleman named John Lee Dumas. I love this story because it just goes to show how asking is really important and valuable. I was attending an event last year, and this gentleman, his name's John Lee Dumas, that he spoke at the event, and he's like one of the top podcasters. He's had millions of downloads. He did a podcast every single day for years, and he's got a really great following. And he did his talk at the event, and when it was done, I walked up to him and I said, "Hey, I'd love to have you on my show. Are you available and interested?" And he said, "You know what? Everybody who asks me in person, I say yes to. If you had sent me an email, I wouldn't even have read it. But since you asked me in
Wow.
person, yes." And he goes, "It's a 15-minute interview. That's all I give." And I'm like, "I'm taking it. I'll take that 15 minutes." And it was awesome because I, again, it was setting the intention. I knew what my intention was for that 15-minute interview. I knew I was going to get only 15 minutes with him. So when I got him on the, like up here on the, it was on Zoom. I got him on there. I said, "We're getting right into it. I'm not wasting any time on pleasantries. Are you okay with that?" And he said, "Yeah, let's go." So, so it's right. It's like
Amazing.
setting that intention. Another one that I had was incredible was I interviewed the president, ex-president of Mexico, Vicente Fox. And again, I just reached out to his assistant and I said, "Well, he's in town for Secret Knock. Let's put him on my calendar for me to interview him." She goes, "Okay." So we put him on the calendar and I interviewed him. So really just put yourself out there and ask those people that you really look up to. And you're just like, "Oh, I'd love to interview that person, but I'm a little too scared. I don't know how to do it." You know what? Just do it. Put yourself out there and ask them. You don't know what the response is going to be. And it's always no if you don't ask.
And Jerry is
I
saying,
know.
sorry, Bishop, you have to ask because no's are free. So you've got to ask.
Yeah. Yes.
Sorry, Bishop.
Well, you're not going to get a yes if you don't ask. I mean, I had this amazing, I spoke about it on one of the other, on the charity show we had not too long ago. I found an interview online of a lady who's become, I mean, her TED talk is now incredibly famous. And when I listened to her TED talk, it just spoke to my heart, you know. It was all about how all our electronic devices, I don't know if you know this, Linda. I think Stephen will remember this from our show. But every electronic device that we possess, our smartphones, our computers, hearing aids, air conditioners, every electronic device has got a motherboard in it. And inside the motherboard, you've got a capacitor. And inside the capacitor, they use a mineral called colton or tantalum, which is mined in Africa, and it's mined in the DRC Congo. Now, here's the kicker. That Colton is mined by children as young as 4 years old.
Oh.
4 years old. It is heartbreaking when you see these little kids in those mines. Now, none of our electronic devices are going to work without this Colton that they're using the capacitor. And every single manufacturer turns a blind eye to their manufacturing process. It's not my problem. I just get the capacitors from China. I don't care where China gets it from. So, you know, nobody is paying attention to the dilemma of where these capacitors come from. That every single electronic device that we pay thousands of rands for, none of that is getting fed back to the DRC Congo, where people are working away like slaves. And this lady was basically highlighting the plight of people in the DRC Congo, people in Africa, who's got the minerals that the rest of the world needs, and yet Africa is doomed to poverty. And that just spoke to me, and I thought, you know, but she's right. You know, she's absolutely right. Something is wrong here with the system, and this needs to be highlighted. And I went and I tracked her down. I found her, and I said to her, you know, please, your TED talk just spoke to me, and this is something I would like to highlight to my audience because it's something I didn't know. Tell me more. Mm-hmm. And she said yes, you know, and we had a great interview. And since then, I'm just filled with this passion to want to talk about this more and more, to raise awareness and say to people, do you know that your mobile phone, your laptop that you're so attached to, child labor is involved in bringing this device to your hands? And we need to get the story to the manufacturers and hold them accountable and say, come on, you need to take some of your profits and feed it back and get the kids off the mines. You know, we need to be promoting ethical mining. We need to say to them, we won't buy your products if you don't mine ethically. You know, I get very emotional talking about it because it just doesn't sit well with me since I found this out.
Yeah, I had no idea. So thank you for sharing that with us. You know, that's the beauty of having those talk shows, right? Is that you can bring on people to bring light to situations like this, and maybe something will be done because you shared it.
I just want to say thank you to Jerry. He doesn't want to leave, but in 15 minutes he has to go for therapy. So he loves us all, and that we'll catch up with the replay and with Aaron afterwards. So thank you for watching, Jerry. Take care. See you soon. I think one of the other things is, Brigitte, is that we're in a position where by choosing the guests that we do, we can raise awareness of situations. We know that in the sort of the clothing industry, the manufacturers who actually subcontracted out to the third world have been made responsible for the supply chains. So that if in the UK we find a retailer or a manufacturer who's actually selling us clothes where children are actually making them, then basically they are forced to do something about it. Because what happens is people stop buying their clothes so they've got to do some action. But we're in a position where we can help raise awareness of things that we find of interest too.
Yeah, it's it really is a platform where we can not only share our voice, but help others to share their voice. And Stephen, you do frequently nonprofit, you know, what do you call it, fundraisers, using your platform for that. And that's really incredible opportunity to do that as well, right? So you bring people on your show to raise awareness and raise money. And it's a great way to do that.
The inspiration for that show is Brigitte. And we got talking and we sort of went over to Fons and said, Fons, do you want to be in? And he said, yes. So the three of us now have a show which is simply called Charity. And We invite charities to actually come on live on air and be interviewed and talk about their cause. And we're doing it to raise awareness. We're not collecting donations. We're just actually getting people in front of the cameras, or we're telling this their we're telling the story on their behalf. And we're going, not going to speak out of turn, but we're going to be going live possibly towards the end of this month. We just need to fix a date and a time. And the charity show is something that, that can make a difference by interviewing people who otherwise would not have access to the facilities that we've got. Brigitte?
That to me is a beautiful thing. I mean, being able to share stories of people in Africa that otherwise wouldn't have had a voice. Mm-hmm. You cannot believe how many of these people came back to me and they thank me all the time. And, you know, they're so grateful that I could relay their stories to a worldwide audience. To me, there is, it was such a feel good, you know, and it wasn't about me, but it was about being able to share other people's stories and give them a voice that they don't have. That to me is a beautiful thing.
It really is. And like my whole message, you know, while I'm here on this planet, is to, you know, help people discover their value and then to share their voice with the world. And so it's all about that being seen, being heard, you know, giving them an opportunity to share their voice. So it's an amazing thing when we can help others share their passion with our audience, and you never know where it's going to go. You just never know where it's going to go, because somebody could be watching one of my videos who's a, just a friend of mine who has a connection to somebody who has a connection to somebody. You know, you never know, again, where that chain is going to end up. And so sharing your voice with the world, just to have the opportunity to say, you know what, this is what I'm passionate about. This is what I do. This is who I help. This is who I serve. It just gives them an opportunity to tap into a different audience. Maybe they're already doing that in some places, but this gives them an opportunity to tap into your audience, which I think is beautiful. And that's one of my favorite parts about interviewing, is to share that person with my audience.
And share their passion for what they do.
Yeah.
And to make everything come alive. I mean, if you find somebody who is knowledgeable and is actually passionate, then those are the best people to interview.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to stop them.
True. Right, I just want to segue into something, then I'll come back. I would love to be a guest. Now, that thought came to me, it ties in with the show today. I would love to be a guest. In the Belivers group at the moment, if you want to be a guest on a show, and that's any show that's run by a BeLive TV broadcaster anywhere in the world, then if you go and you find that phrase, I would love to be a guest, you can type in your bio and the topics you want to talk and be a guest on somebody else's show, or a guest on a lot of people's shows, depending on your topics. If somebody resonates with you and your topic, then you could find yourself being interviewed by many people, and all starts in the Belivers group. All you need to do is put your bio and what you want to talk about in the comments. I think that's bringing people together. Because one of the things, we've got our circle of friends, we know exactly what they do. Then we've got our outer circle and our outer circle, and we can't reach them. They've got to come to us. So that's the idea, that it brings people in who want to be sort of have a higher profile. Yeah. And I would love to be interviewed. If you want to interview me.
Me too. You know.
And Linda too. And Brigitte too.
Me too.
Yeah, hello.
Those three.
So I want to bring that topic up because since I interview so many people, you know, I've interviewed hundreds of people, that I'm wondering, and I'm not sure if this is what might happen, is people might think that I'm not interested in being on their show. You know, it's interesting how having your own show and putting yourself out there, that oftentimes in the minds of some people, like I used to be I'm speaking to about who I used to be. When I see people, you know, having their own show, I think that they're untouchable, unattainable. Well, pretty much the opposite is true for that, because I believe that most of us who have our own show would love to be interviewed by you. So if you're interested in interviewing somebody who has a show, reach out to them, because there's possibly a topic that they can talk on that would be interesting for your audience. Like, my favorite topic to talk about is fear and breaking through fears. And so if that's a topic that interests people, or masterminding, because I lead masterminds, I've been leading them for years. It's a great topic that I know a lot about. And so, like, for me, it would be that, right? So if you're seeing somebody that has a show and you're like, wow, I really like that person. They have great energy. I think they'd be a great person to be on my show. Just reach out to them and ask them, and you'll be surprised probably at how many people will say, yes, of course. When? Let's do it. Let's do it as soon as possible. Right, Bridgette? Like, we want to get out there too.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. We love interviewing people, but we also love being interviewed.
Yes, ditto. I absolutely second that thought.
We just love the camera. I mean,
Stephen as well. You know, Stephen, how many times have you been interviewed? Has Stephen gone down to the green room?
I'm here now.
Yeah. So, Stephen, I mean, I can hear you. So, I mean, basically, I think you're in the same boat. You know, you're always the one conducting the interviews. Mm-hmm. And it's seldom that the shoe is on the other foot. So, you know, it is nice to occasionally be interviewed by other people.
It is. But it's always, yeah, it is. And that's why now, when I did the, I would love to be interviewed. I would love to be a guest. I did it in Belivers, and I put my name first. So there you are.
Yay.
I made a start.
That's awesome. I love that. That's a great idea. Yeah, you know, just sharing with people that you want to be interviewed. Maybe people have a show and you think you would be a perfect guest for them. Reach out to them. You know, there's ways to be interviewed, as well as, you know, great ways to interview people, and conducting those really awesome interviews so that people want to watch your show. You know, I missed a day one for a show I was doing, and somebody actually sent me a message saying, "Are you not doing your show today?" I didn't realize anybody was really caring, you know, So it was kind of interesting. I really put that in perspective, because that was one person who reached out. So how many people didn't reach out that were looking forward to it? I don't have any idea. And, you know, sharing what you do and sharing what the other person that you're interviewing does, it's just a great way to make a positive impact on the planet, I think.
So, Linda, here's a question for you. When you do have a talk show and you have guests on, you also never know. I mean, it's interesting and it's great sometimes that you don't know too much, because you just kind of allow the conversation to flow, and that's interesting and great. How would you handle, or have you ever been in a situation where you've had a guest that was less than friendly, or a problem guest? How do you deal with a problem guest? Because we get those as well, right? I've had that experience, and I think that is possibly one of the things that may put people off. So maybe we can talk for a minute about what are ways that we, you know, how do we deal with problem guests?
I love this question. Oh, it just got me cracking up, because I'm thinking of those situations and how awkward they were. Oh my gosh. I know that there was one in particular. There are two that really, really come to mind, but one in particular, there was this woman that, when I was chatting with her before the interview, like, I chatted with her maybe like 2 weeks before, and I said, "I'd love to have you share your story on my show, because it's absolutely like heart-wrenching, but amazing information," like how she came out of the heart-wrenching story and how she thrived after this situation. And like, we were like crying during it and everything. And then it came for interview time, and I asked her questions, and she would not go into her story at all. Like, she was surface. So I wanted to go deep, and I kept asking the questions that would bring her deep, but she would not go there. And I get it. That happens. Like, we were on a camera, You know, we weren't just having a conversation with each other. We were on a camera. And it was very awkward for me because I really wanted to share that. So there was one instance where I had done research, right, but through a conversation. And I was like, oh my God, I have to have her on the show because she's really going to help so many people by sharing her story. She wasn't ready to share her story yet publicly. And I remember sitting there and just thinking to myself, like I was yelling in my head saying, tell the story, just tell the story. Oh my God, you're not going deep. You know, you can change people's lives with your story. And I was yelling that in my head. And but I was sitting there going like I looked at like a deer in the headlights, you know, because I wanted her to share so badly. And that happened to me twice. And how do you do with those? You know, basically I wrapped it up as quickly as I possibly could. Just wrap it up and find a way to end it because it's not going where it can make the impact. Really, so the interview, that particular interview was, it wasn't a value. It wasn't because this person was not sharing vulnerably. This person was not sharing, being authentic. They were so surface that it was like just having a mask on. And I'm interested in really finding out your heart. Like, where is your heart? Because your heart is where you're going to connect with others. So how do you deal with that kind of situation, Brigetti?
Well, I was put on a spot once. And I'd interviewed this gentleman more than once before. And was on the water show. And so, you know, I had a rapport with him, or so I thought. And on this one show, I'm busy doing the introduction, as I always do on, you know, on the show. And he basically says to me, hey, listen here, can you just stop talking now? You know, I want to just get to this. I'm not interested in talking about that. And I'm like, what?
Oh.
But I mean, he was like just blatantly being rude because all he wanted to do was to get to his part where he could sell.
Oh.
And then that is when I realized that, you know, he's not in it for wanting to really help people. I mean, I subsequently watched some other stuff about him. And, you know, it's about the money churn for him. So he wasn't really a heart-centered kind of person. He was willing to share knowledge, but share it to the extent that would make people want to come and buy his products and services. And all he wanted to do was just get to that point so that he could sell. And I wasn't buying that. I was like, no, not on my show. This is not happening. You know, so I kind of glanced over it a bit, but I promise you, I terminated the interview at the first opportunity that I could get because I thought, I'm not entertaining people like this. This is not my style.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because after I conducted that interview, because it didn't mesh well with me, and I am about, you know, being authentic, being true, being vulnerable. I'm all about that. So I actually removed that interview from my show because if somebody watched it, they would see something totally different than the message that I want to deliver. And I mean, she is such an incredible woman. She was just scared. She was scared to share it. And that's okay. That happens. But, you know, hopefully I tried really hard to tap in, you know. It happens.
You know, I went and deleted that as well. But you know, here's the thing, Linda. If I went into that interview and it was about helping somebody promoting their sales, cool bananas, yay!
Right.
I'm good with that. You know, just going for the kill and let them share their story and let them get the sales. But this show was not about that.
Right.
And that was the difference. Stephen, have you had an experience like this?
No.
I'm
fortunate, but the biggest problem I had in the early days was yes and no.
Oh.
And if you ask a closed question to which the answer is either yes or no, you're going to go down one pass and your guest will not open up. So if you ask the question, do you like being interviewed? You get a yes or a no, and that's end of. Alternatively, what you should say is, what do you feel about being interviewed? And then they can't say yes. They've got to actually open up. And I think that's something that you've got to learn over time, that occasionally you can ask a yes, no question. But the one that gets people involved, not only your guest involved, but also the audience involved, is when you ask for an opinion rather than getting a yes or no.
Yeah, it was funny too, Stephen. That was a perfect segue, right? Because Brigetti asked you, have you ever had that happen to you? And you said, no. It was a perfect segue. Right. You know what? A topic I want to talk about really quick and just find out how you guys handle this is the runaway freight train. You know, the person that you ask a question of and they're on a runaway freight train. And I know that I do this sometimes when I'm being interviewed because I'm so passionate about what I'm doing. And I try to recognize that, I'm that runaway freight train right now. I got to wrap this up. But I don't always notice time, like how time is passing. So how do you, when somebody is just like on a roll, or especially if they're getting emotional or it's like a very emotionally charged topic, first of all, do you try to redirect it? Do you try to stop it, or do you let them go? And if you try to stop it or to redirect it, what do you do to do that?
Go for it, Stephen.
I'm back. Right. If you've ever watched
one. Okay, I don't know if I'm on the show, whether I've dropped out or whether Stephen and Linda have both dropped out. So I'm not sure if here. I should refresh. Stephen, are you still there? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Carry on,
Brigitte. I think we lost Linda for a moment.
We have. Linda's dropped out entirely.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll be back in a moment.
I'm sure too.
What are we talking about? I lost my trend. Oh, Linda was asking about runaway guests.
We're talking about runaway freight trends.
Yes. So occasionally you do get a guest that is like a runaway train, and it can be very, very difficult. And I think when I first started encountering situations like that, it was incredibly challenging, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And then I realized, but you know what? It's actually my show. It's my show. I call the shots. And, you know, I need to take charge of the situation. Mm-hmm. And so what I've learned to do is the minute they take a breath, you know, to like, I will interject and I'll change direction and I'll ask a short question and I'll keep doing that, you know. And when I look at the time and I realize, okay, I've got 5 minutes to wrapping up, I'll redirect and say, okay, can we quickly recap the conversation, blah, blah, blah. And if they're still motoring on, I'll say, we have got 2 minutes left. You know, so that they understand this is now your cue. We've got to wrap this up.
I just want to show your living room, Brigetti, because Kevin of BeLive is quite taken by it. So there we have the living room. I'm going to come back
Kevin.
Now. I've been doing a show for 3 years now. It's called Blabbing for Britain, and it's on at 10 o'clock in the UK, 5 a.m. Eastern. And there's four of us. And we all get on really well. You got to if you're going to have been doing a show for that length of time. But we talk about politics. And occasionally in a show, we'll hit somebody's hot button and they will go off on one or have a rant or get totally carried away. And it's got to the point where I don't have to do anything because somebody will type in the comments, Peter, what's your blood pressure? And that's the thing. That's the thing that stops him in his tracks. Guests do get totally involved in a show or in what they're talking about. And there is a danger they're actually going off track. And I go with Rigetti's, just gently nudge them back on what you're trying to talk about. The other thing is that if people are being passionate and passing on useful information for everybody,
Yes, I
will overrun the show. So if we're slated to go for an hour, then I'll overrun 10, 20 minutes. I don't have a problem with that. And we say
Oh, go ahead, Stephen.
I just want to say hi to Nikesh. Hello to Rodney, who says a runaway train needs to be stopped. We're joined by Tina, who says it's so important to establish a connection and chemistry with anyone on screen, meet or chat prior. And that's something that somebody else said as well. I'll catch it later. One of the things about when the comments are moving so fast is actually catching them. So the runaway freight train. Now we've had our say.
Yeah, so I want to talk about the runaway freight train. Yeah, so I've had times where that runaway freight train.
I can't see Linda on screen. I think she's dropped off again. And Linda, if you are watching us, maybe just do a refresh again. I'm not sure if you can see her on screen, but I can't.
Right. You see her disappear before I do. In fact, you're actually predicting she's going to disappear, and she does. So, so we say hello to Tina and Nikesh. And Abigail and Kevin and Robert and Rodney and Chuck and David and Jerry and Aaron and Alfredo and so thank you to everybody who's joined us today. We're just going to wait for a moment until Linda does come back, because we want Linda pose the question. It's only fair that she answer it.
Absolutely, I think so too.
Yeah, and because I left the screen, I'm now a giant on the screen. I'm going to try and fix that. Just give me a second. This is live video. Things go slightly.
So Kevin says he can still see her. Isn't that strange? Interesting.
Okay. Brichetti, your topic. would you like just to talk about the charity show for a moment? And the guests we're going to have on there later this month, and I'll just refresh.
Yes, sure. So so we had a charity show about a month ago, and we're planning to do one again. And the idea with the charity shows is literally to just give people a voice to their stories and to share their stories. And we had some amazing guests on our first charity show. I didn't get to share all my stories because, strangely, I mean, the show ran for 4 hours, and it was just unbelievable how quickly the 4 hours went. We literally didn't realize, before we knew it, 4 hours were gone, and we thought, wow. And so for the next one, we'll line up some new guests, some more stories. There's such a wealth of stories out there. So if you have anything that you'd like to highlight, with regards to a charity, please drop us a line, let us know, and we'll put it on to the next show. So, Linda, you were talking about runaway guests.
Yeah, runaway guests.
How do you deal with runaway guests?
First, can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you, cool. Yes.
Awesome. So the runaway guests, I've had some thoughts of how I wanted to handle it, but I don't handle it that way. My thoughts are to just mute them. That's why. My initial thought. But, you know, what I like to do is before an interview gets started, I like to just let them know ahead of time that there might be points where if they start to, go on and on, that I'm going to stop them. And usually I'll just say, hold on a second, I have a question related to that. So I just point it out there, because they sometimes, the topic and subject they're talking about is so extremely interesting, and they've told the story so many times, they don't realize how amazing it is. And so they just kind of gloss over those things that are like, what, you did what? You know, so I will just, put my hand up and say, hold on a second, and just lean in, because I'm leaning into the conversation because it's really cool. So that's one of the things I like to do. Sometimes it's harder to stop others. And I really just want to hit that mute button, but I don't do it.
It's always tempting, isn't it?
It can be a tough one. It can be a really challenging one. And I think if you're a new host, it's a little bit more challenging. But with time and practice, you get better and better at the ability to steer and intervene and redirect, get them to segue, get them to not completely control the show, because it is your show after all. and you want to bring value to your guests.
And a good point of that too is, again, before you get started, no matter what you're doing in life, if you set the intention so that the other people involved know what to expect. So if you say, you know what, we've got a half hour, and in this half hour, I want to make sure that I can get the most value to our audience. So there might be times where you want to like go, you know, talk about a subject. I might want to interrupt you. So just let you know, this is how I will interrupt you in a way that is engaging. So you say, hold on a second. That's amazing. You like, there's so many different ways that you can set that intention. So when it happens, they will stop, you know, for the most part, most of them will, some of them won't, but they'll stop because they're like, oh, she has a question. Cool. But like Brigitte said, it is your show. So take charge of your show, but also make sure that you're providing value to your audience. I have been interviewed by people who there was this one interview that, you know, this lady interviewed me, and it was an hour long interview, and I sat there hardly talking at all. She talked almost the entire time. So I actually watched, I went back and I watched the interview because I wanted to see how much time did I actually speak during the interview of me. And literally of the 60 minutes, I spoke 8 minutes. So don't be that person, because it was all about her promoting herself by tapping into my audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so don't be that person, because I never want to be on her show again. And I never would refer anybody to be on her show. So don't be that person. Be the most interested person in the room, not the most interesting.
All right. And Tina is saying she would love to address mental health awareness in May when we go again, which is good.
Awesome.
And
great topic.
As a process I use, I appear back on the screen. The guest knows to halt. I have a question, comment. Right. Okay. Now, one of the things about the mute button is I can press the mute button and forget about it, which I've done quite a few times. But on Tuesday, we're doing a show called Anything Goes with Fons Chamberlain. And there's also this sort of 10 to the hour as a show starting at on the hour with Brigitte and myself. And I had to get ready for the second show. And so I told Fons, you hold the fort, last 10 minutes are yours. I'm going to go to the new show. So I went over to the new show and I set everything up, and Cheryl arrived and we got chatting. But as I was chatting, I could actually hear Fons in my headset. So I was listening to Cheryl. I've got to hear Fons because I still had the other show open because I had to close it. So I've got two voices in my head. It takes some admitting. But I then thought, I know what I can do. I'll just mute Fons. So I muted Fons. I couldn't hear him. But the problem was, nor could anybody else. Oh, dear. It took 2 minutes to realize because I was back. Oh, that was good. Right, just catching up. Rodney's saying, thank you for helping us to learn from your mistakes. Oh, we make plenty of those because Lord knows I can never make them all myself. That's true. Okay, let's finish on a positive note because we've had fun and really enjoyed ourselves. We've gone through what's good and bad, but what makes a good guest in your eyes?
Brigitte's
always a good guest and co-host.
Exactly.
A good guest is gracious and will go with the flow and just be kind and treat the audience in a respectful manner. I think that to me is absolutely key, is that they understand that they are a guest and they want to be respectful of your show, depending on what kind of show it is. For example, most of my shows are family friendly. And so I want to make sure that my guest understands that, you know, the shows are family friendly and we want to keep it on that level. Thankfully, I don't think I've ever had a guest who kind of went wayward and made the show not child friendly. You know, because people forget. I mean, there really is no filter on Facebook. How do you stop a child from watching a show? You know, someone once said, you know, oh, well, we're doing a late night show. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way. Right. You know, the world works 24/7 and there is no late night show. So even if your show is called The Late Night Show, well, it's morning somewhere else, you know. So you can't have a late night show and say, well, okay, we can now permit slightly colorful language in the show because it's a late night show. So, you know, I think it's great if a guest finds out, you know, what is the audience, and is there anything that's taboo that I shouldn't mention? And that's great because it's very, very helpful to make sure we're all on the same page. And that's where the pre-interview is so important. Some sort of engagement, some sort of rapport before the interview so that you don't hit these roadblocks during the interview.
Linda.
Yeah.
Who's your ideal guest?
My ideal guest is the one who actually is willing to share authentically and vulnerably, because I believe that people see through the BS and they see if we're not actually sharing from our heart. And our heart is where we actually connect with each other. And so to me, that's really important. And Shirley, there was an instance when I, because something you mentioned, Brigitte, was kind of funny. I thought of immediately Vicente Fox when I was interviewing him. I had this intention. I told him, no politics. Like, we're not going to talk about politics. I know you were the president, but we're not going to talk about politics, right? So I set that intention out there. And so as I was interviewing him, for those who don't know, Vicente Fox has this thing, you know, against Donald Trump, because Donald Trump, president of the United States, says that Mexico is going to build the wall, you know, separating Mexico and the United States. And so Vicente Fox is always talking about, we're not going to build your effing wall, you know, he talks about. And so I was like, we're not going there, right? So as we were having the conversation, it was kind of funny because he alluded to it. And I just put my hand on his shoulder and I said, we're not talking politics today, like that, you know, and he just kind of chuckled. So it's kind of funny. But it was, I love a guest that has a good sense of humor too. It's very important to me, because, you know, my personal mantra or mission for myself is to have as much fun as possible hanging out with positive and uplifting people who want to make a positive impact on the planet. And so that's who I'm hoping I'm attracting to me, are those people who are, again, you know, being authentic, vulnerable, as well as want to have a lot of fun. And if I say something goofy, that they'll laugh with me, not at me, you know. And because, you know, I say goofy things frequently, but that's who I am. And, you know, I want to be me at all times. So, yeah, that's what's really, really important to me.
The other thing that's important to me also is, you know, depending on the show, like with the kind of stuff that I sometimes do, is you want to make sure that your guest will stick to facts and not to hearsay, because that could be very, very damaging to your reputation. You know, if you get known for people that come onto your show and they spread untruths, that's not cool either. So if you have the kind of show where knowledge is what it's about, or knowledge sharing, you want to make sure that your guest is truly, truly knowledgeable and will be factual, and not share contentious information that is untrue.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Fist bump.
I'm going to try a third time. Right, a good guest to me is someone who's passionate about the topic, loves talking about it, respects the interviewer and the audience, and is there to actually send a message out and have a laugh at the same time. Because I agree with Linda on that one. If you do it with a sense of humor, then it hits home more. If you've got a situation where your guest is, well, if you've got a boring guest, it's hard work. So it's better if your guest is interesting from the get-go.
Yeah, I agree. And remember, the three of us would love to be on your show. So reach out to any of us if you'd like to have us on your show. I want to make sure I put that out there again.
Yeah, we would love to be a guest. Now, we're coming up towards the hour, so it's time to take our leave. We're back tomorrow with a mystery show. The mystery is, I don't know what tomorrow's show is going to be, but it is again, it's a I don't. He said no, Brigitte. We can't do it until May. So tomorrow's show is going to be a mystery. If you want to join me on camera tomorrow, then please do. But the final words go to my friends and co-hosts and, well, all-round great people. So, Linda, over to you and your parting thoughts on today.
You know, if you're out there not conducting interviews yet, and because you're not really sure what a path you want to take on it, just kind of jot down, like, what are some of the people that you would be interested in interviewing? What is it about them that interests you? And if it's something that interests you, just know that it's going to interest other people too. There's more than 7 billion people on this planet. So there's somebody else that's interested in what you're interested in. So find the people who match what you're interested in so that you can interview them on your show and, you know, give them an opportunity to share their voice with the world.
Brilliant. Brigitte.
My final words is, make that list, as Linda said, and don't be afraid to ask. You'd be surprised. Very often we're afraid, but all that, you know, is simply in our heads. And so you'll be surprised how many times, if you ask and you ask sincerely, people will say yes. So don't be, never hold back from asking. So I'm going to end off by saying thanks everyone who's watched us live today. Thank you to everyone who's watching the show on the replay. We had lots of fun and we hope you had lots of fun. We'll hope you join us tomorrow again. So from me, Brigitte, it's bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
And that is